Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. I am so thankful that we have an opportunity to preach it, to hear it preached. I know in other countries, the preacher is liable to be arrested, tortured, and killed. China, for instance. Maybe the Philippines, for instance. The Muslim countries, for instance. That's not a laughing matter. But thank you that we have an opportunity to hear from heaven. Lord, bless those that are listening and help them to understand the Word of God. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here for me. I'm not here for my denomination. Not here to get people to know about me. Not here for the church. I'm here for the people. Please help them to understand. And we give you, Lord, the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now these verses that I've read, and this chapter, chapter 5, 6, and 7, this is the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain," a mount, and it's generally referred to in that fashion. It's a universal term. Everyone knows if you're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, it's these chapters. Now, he will, in other books of the Gospels, he will touch on some of what's said here. He will make reference to it here and there. He'll repeat it here and there. But generally, these three chapters are notable. Every Bible scholar, every Bible student in every denomination, they all know about the Sermon on the Mount. And these 12 verses here, these are called the Beatitudes. And they tell us how a Christian should live. They tell us how the Christian should act. The Christian, let's say the ideal Christian attitude, behavior, and responses. And I'd like to go through them one by one, and then I'd like to make some comments. I've written down a number of verses that I believe that give a commentary, but let's first go through them one by one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, many times this word blessed, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, is pronounced blessed. The word technically is blessed, past tense of bless, I suppose. It's another way to translate it would be to say happy. When you use the pronunciation blessed, you're meaning a different word. Now, you can mean what you will, but the Bible says one thing. But the word blessed means to be elevated and deified. And that's not what he's talking about here. The proof of that, this first one here in verse 3, says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That doesn't sound like anything special. It's not deification. But the Christian must, if he wants to be a Christian, must humble himself. We said, and we've taught everything up to this point in the book of Matthew, that John the Baptist started out preaching repentance, and that people should repent of their sins, feel sorry for their sins, and ask God to help them to not do them again, and to be forgiven of their sins. When Jesus started to preach in chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say the same thing John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But if a sinner wants to be a Christian, he needs to be poor in spirit. He must humble himself. He must admit that he needs a Savior. I was discussing the passage called the Magnificat, I suppose. It's in Luke. And at the end of it, Mary says, my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. Even Mary said that she needed a Savior. If a man doesn't need God, then man can't be saved. If a man is too busy, and I know church is an imposition. I know Sunday's a big deal. I understand. Especially after Katrina, I understand that life is hard. But salvation isn't found in going to church. It's found in the Savior, understanding that Jesus died for our sins. So instead of proud, God wants us to be humble, to be poor in spirit. God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. The word grace means God's unmerited favor. You can't earn salvation, you can't work it up. You can't be good enough. You can't keep the Ten Commandments and God say, okay, you kept them, you get into heaven. It's none of that. Salvation is a free gift. And grace, again, means God's unmerited favor. God looks upon you. God smiles upon you. He will give you things, forgiveness, for instance. But it's unmerited. You didn't deserve, you cannot deserve heaven. You cannot deserve to be saved. It's a free gift. But we're to be poor in spirit. As I said, you have to humble yourself and admit that you need a Savior, and then you can gain heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We should mourn for sin, for our failings, for our faults, for where we messed up, we said the wrong thing. Maybe we shot our mouth off, maybe we got slapped for it, whatever. But we should mourn for the things that we do wrong. But it says, for they should be comforted. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. If you're proud, if you say, well, that's not my fault, that, you know, and whatever, and pass the buck and lay the blame at somebody else when you know it's your fault, then you've comforted yourself. But there's the touch of God that can be had, and God's comfort that can be had. You know, and we'll get into this, Jesus often spoke in parables. A parable is a story with a hidden meaning. And some of them are easy to understand, and some of them are difficult to understand. But it's a hidden meaning, and he said that he would talk to the man on the street in stories with a hidden meaning. And then his disciples would say, hey, later on after all the people had gone, hey, what's the real meaning? You say, why does he do that? In another place he says he won't cast his pearl before swine. God's gift is precious. Heaven is precious. The streets of gold that we're going to be walking on when we get to heaven is precious. Forgiveness is precious, to be forgiven. You know, I guess a few months ago I went to Angola. There was a conference there, and I went with another preacher or two, what have you. And after lunch, I had a chance to talk with some of the inmates. And I talked with a murderer. He had been there 15 some odd years, I don't know how long it was. In Angola, he was a murderer. He killed one or two people. I forget the exact story. But to talk with him, he was just as nice and kind as anybody that you'd meet in church. And if he could get out, I wish he could come here to Old Paths Tabernacle. You say, why is that? Because God changed him on the inside. God did something on the inside. And instead of a murderous heart, instead of that, it was what we're reading here, that he was humble, that he was kind, etc. God had changed his heart. But we should mourn for our failings, and God will comfort us on the inside. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word meek means mild. Not boastful, not proud, not the center of attention, but mild. Everybody likes to have fun. You know, a long time ago I used to play in the LSU marching band, and I went to all the games for 3 years. The home games, the away games. We went to Notre Dame, we went to the Orange Bowl, we did a lot of stuff. And that was great, and I was very much into it at that time. And the following year, I wasn't in the band that fourth year, but I was very into it. And then I became a Christian, and my focus changed. And I'm not saying that football's bad, but I'm saying for me, my focus changed. We were very rowdy, very raucous. We were very loud about the fact that, hey, we're LSU, and we went to the Orange Bowl, and et cetera, and that's good. That has a place. But it wasn't just for football. It was for drinking. It was for running around. It was for doing everything. We had an attitude. We were proud of it. We were not mild. We were not meek. But God says the Christian, the one that loves God, the one that spends time in church and spends time studying the Word and spends time in prayer, God will change him and make him meek, make him mild. Can still have fun, but the party atmosphere, the party spirit is just gone from the Christian once God has a chance to work on his heart. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Christian, or let me change it, the sinner, he wants to sin. He wants to get drunk, he wants to do this, he wants to carry on. But the Christian, he doesn't want to do that anymore. I know in my own life, when I got saved, I knew instantly that I didn't need the bar anymore. And I changed. Some changes right away, some changed took a long time. But I was changed, and I began to hate sin. You know, the Christian is convicted. If he shoots off his mouth, or he goes with his friends and gets drunk or whatever, he's convicted afterwards. We know what conviction is. When you go before the judge and finds you guilty, well, you're convicted and you go to prison or what have you. Or you pay the fine or pick up trash on the side of I-10 or whatever the deal is. God convicts you. The Holy Spirit convicts you and shows you that you did wrong. You can argue if you want, but I mean, it's God you're arguing with. But the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. I did a study sometime a few years ago on John chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus took an extended period of time to talk about the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, is to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But the Christian that begins to live for God begins to hate sin. He begins to hate anger. He begins to hate covetousness. You know, they did that to me and I'm going to get back. Well, you know, you begin to hate that kind of mindset. You begin to want God's way. You begin to want forgiveness. You begin to find patience in your heart, etc. And if you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for the right things, the things that God says are right, not the things that men say are right. You know, men think that if you eat something with too many calories, it's a sin. The Bible says nothing of that. That's just human mentality. You know, I've been to Haiti. I've been to other places, but I've been to Haiti, probably the worst country in the world. Sometimes they don't have enough to eat. Sometimes they love to have a Twinkie. Sometimes they love to have what on the commercials they say is sinful to eat. Because, you know, maybe they hadn't eaten in a couple of days. But the Christian that begins to live for God and seek God and develops a hunger and thirst for God's ways and righteousness and peace and what have you, it says they shall be filled. The Holy Spirit is what it's talking about. God will fill your heart with His Spirit. Now that we can go into theology, I suppose, and the indwelling and the anointing of the Spirit, and I'm not interested in that right now. What it's talking about is that as you make room in your heart for God, He will come and make His abode with you. The more you invite the Lord into the things that are in your life, the more that He will feel comfortable. And I could talk about the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and the later temple, what have you. I could talk about that when the Spirit of God came and filled the temple. As we make room for God in our hearts, He will fill us. And the way to do that is to develop a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I've said it many times, a Christian, you don't find him on Saturday night in the bar. You find him on Sunday morning in church. Because he has a hunger for the things of God and an utter distaste for the things of the world. Another place it says to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Again, it's a contrast between living for the devil and living for God. But let's move on. In verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's a parable, or there's another place that the Lord perhaps makes it more specific, that if you won't forgive those that wrong you, then why should God continue to forgive you when you wronged Him? You were passed from death to life. You're no longer going to go to hell. You're going to make heaven your home. And again, streets of gold, the river of life, the angels, all of these things in heaven. But if you who've been forgiven can't forgive somebody who stole $5 or whatever the case, then you don't deserve to be forgiven. Again, you can't earn any kind of salvation. You cannot earn anything. You cannot gain anything by doing salvation's free. But if you live as though you don't care for it, God will not continue to offer it to you. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I've mentioned this a while ago, that God hides himself from those that don't love him, that are not interested. If all you want is bad stuff on TV and bad stuff in the bar on Saturday night, then God's not going to bother to show you anything out of his word. He's just not. But in one place it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessel is our body, and God lives in us. Know you not that you're the temple of God, for the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? We don't understand all the things that God has done. We don't understand. We simply just don't get it. Myself, you, me, anyone, we just don't understand. We try, and God certainly went a long way by giving us his word, but it's hard for us to understand and to grasp the things that God has for us. You know the verse, eye hath not seen, etc., that the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We just don't get it. And too often, because we're interested in other things, who's an American Idol or whatever, The Voice or whatever, or who got elected or didn't get elected, all of these things that take our attention, if we had our eyes on God and not these other things, he would show us more. He would help us. He would comfort us. He would lead us by his Spirit. But we need a pure heart. We need a heart that's devoted to God. We need a heart that is no longer interested in the things that bring perhaps temporary pleasure or what have you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, there are those, well, I'll be straight out with it, the left, the progressives, the communists, the socialists, whatever, they like to take the Bible and make out that Jesus was a pacifist. And that's just simply not true. If you know, it's funny, they want to attack Christians by saying that we ought to be pacifists, then they turn to the Old Testament and say that God was an ogre because he had his armies to go to war and kill these or that people. They can't get their story right. But God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, if you seek reconciliation with others, instead of continuing perhaps to engage in a family feud, if you try to bring both sides together, for instance, if you choose to take wrong, if they've accused you, what have you, and you say, well, okay, whatever, I won't fight for my side. If you try to get along, if you try to bring reconciliation between maybe a parent and a child or something when they're fighting all the time, if you try to be a peacemaker, that's the thing we ought to do. And it says that those that try to be peacemakers shall be called the children of God. But verse 10, 11, and 12 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, or say bad things about you, and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And again, like I said, I'm going to pick this up here next time. But the first of these Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, etc. If you live that way, if you try to live as the Bible teaches, as you try to forgive, as you try to be patient with people, and etc., and etc., the world wants nothing to do with God. And as you live for God, you're reflecting His glory, and you will suffer persecution for it. Like I said, next time I'll pick up in detail, and as I go through some things that have happened in the last couple of months in the national news and whatever, you'll say, okay, I understand now. But Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to follow you. Please strengthen us. And Lord, do what it says here. As we try to be poor in spirit and etc., please comfort us. Please show us mercy, etc. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.